On March 27, 1964, Alaska was hit by the largest earthquake ever recorded on the North American continent. In Anchorage, resident Robert Pate recorded his reaction.
Man, that's an earthquake. Hey, that's an earthquake for sure. Woo! Oh, man. I'm telling you, I have never lived through anything like this before in my life.
The massive 9.2 magnitude quake destroyed downtown Anchorage. It then triggered a tsunami with waves rushing at the speed of a jetliner down the Pacific Northwest coastline. Outside of Alaska, the hardest hit community was Crescent City, California, which juts into the Pacific Ocean below the Oregon border. Much of that town of 3,000 was destroyed by giant waves that crashed through Crescent City in the middle of the night. 11 people were killed. Four decades later, the community is relearning some hard lessons from the past. NPR's Richard Gonzalez has our story.
On the first Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m., the residents of Crescent City, California, hear this. It's a test of the city's tsunami warning siren. But 41 years ago, on Good Friday, 1964, Crescent City had no sirens. Back then, the only real warnings were the tsunami alerts on radio and TV. By midnight, Crescent City was seeing only minor flooding along the storefronts near the shore. There seemed to be no cause for worry. But then, as in a typical tsunami, the ocean completely withdrew.
As if someone had pulled the plug, it receded a distance of 3/4 of a mile from the shore. We were looking down, as though from a high mountain, into a black abyss. The basin was sucked dry.
Author Dennis Powers stands near Crescent City's Battery Point Lighthouse, reading an account from the unsuspecting lighthouse keeper, Peggy Coons. In his recent book, The Raging Sea, Powers describes a series of huge waves, most likely four, with the last being the deadliest.
The ocean withdraws, comes barreling in 25 feet high in the fourth large deadly wave, and goes inland 2 miles. At this time, you have tanks exploding, you have 300 buildings and businesses destroyed, you have a third of the community homeless.
The fourth wave washes in tons of sea debris, uproots trees, and rips asphalt off the streets. Houses tear away from their foundations. Cars, trucks, and giant logs ram through walls of downtown buildings. But even in the light of the full moon, authorities don't immediately see the full extent of the damage. At first, Civil Defense Director Bill Parker tells the assistant to the governor there's been only minor flooding. But the disaster isn't revealed until just before dawn.
So I called him up about 5 in the morning and said, I want to change that. And I said, basically, Crescent City's gone. And he said, what?
Parker isn't the only one faked out by the first waves. Among the shop owners who returned to the shore before the fourth wave hits is 27-year-old Gary Clausen. He and his father own a small tavern called the Long Branch. That night, Gary, his parents, his fiancée, and 2 employees returned to the tavern to retrieve the cash box and lock up just in case there's more flooding. Clausen recalls it was his father's 54th birthday.
My dad, I'll never forget, he jumped up on the bar and drew himself a beer and he says, well, happy birthday to me, he says, let it come.
But no one knew what was about to come. With an eerie hissing, the brackish waters rise suddenly. Clausen sees his brand new white Pontiac Grand Prix lift up and then crash down upon his father's Dodge Dart. Dark water rushes in through the front door. Clausen yells for everyone to climb up on the bar.
And about that time, the west wall of the building caved in and it just kind of crumpled in the middle. And it took right off the foundation. We went back probably 250 feet or so, and the building hung up in the trees that were in the back.
The tavern is bobbing like a cork in the ocean. Clausen tells everyone to get on the roof, but gasoline from a nearby storage plant is spreading in the water. The danger of a fire means the roof isn't safe, plus Clausen's mother can't swim. By now they're a party of 8, and a neighbor, Mac McGuire, suggests they swim out to find his small boat. Clausen agrees, and they jump into the icy water.
And we made our way through floating mobile homes and motor homes and propane tanks and stuff. And when I actually could get my foot down on something, I was right in the middle of Highway 101. It was just right up to my chin.
They soon find the boat, and Clausen rose by himself over to the tavern rooftop to pick up his group.
I was kind of trying to cut jokes and tell my mom and dad, that everything's going to be fine and whatnot. Two more rows and we'd have been on dry land, but the water started receding.
Tsunami waves can recede just as fast as they rush in. That's what happened in Crescent City that night. The boat is spun sideways and starts heading for a tunnel under a four-lane highway. At the end of the tunnel is an iron grate that's already catching debris, cars, logs, and refrigerators. The boat flips, and Clausen is horrified to see his parents and fiancé thrashing in the water just ahead of him before they hit the grate. Within seconds, he hits it too.
I remember being just smashed, just flat, up against all of the debris, and I knew that I was drowning, and I was saying to myself, my God, I can't believe it. So I took one chance. I knew I couldn't go up.
Clausen pushes down, hits bottom, and the pressure forces him through two of the steel pilings. His father, mother, fiancé, and two employees don't make it. Six other people died in Crescent City that night, including two small children. 41 years later, memories of the tsunami may have dimmed, but not for former County Civil Defense Director Bill Parker.
What really worries me, bothers me, is that I think there's a lack of awareness up and down our entire coast, up through Oregon and Washington. I don't think the coastal cities up there have the least idea of what they're up against.
Parker's worry is shared by Troy Nicolini of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We're standing in the gray rain near the Battery Point Lighthouse. Nicolini points out to the ocean, where a 700-mile fault line called the Cascadia Subduction Zone begins off the Northern California coast. Nicolini says it's just a matter of time before that fault triggers a tsunami.
In fact, historically, there's lots of evidence for very large tsunamis hitting this part of the coast. It's definitely going to come.
And Nicolini says understanding how tsunamis happen is key to surviving one. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
Tomorrow, Richard reports on the most recent tsunami warning for the Pacific Coast. Although it was a false alarm, isolated coastal communities like Crescent City, California, wonder if they can expect any help at all. And you can read an eyewitness account of the tsunami and get a look at Crescent City after the disaster at npr.org.